If you've got an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, then you've got the Lisa Wexler Show. Now on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Joining us now is Wayne Winston, who is an active member of our Black community. He's been affiliated with the NAACP and other organizations, and he is an activist on behalf of basically trying to promote equity and fairness and all that good sort of justice stuff. And we talk about issues that affect the Black community every Wednesday at 11:30. And we invite you to be part of the conversation at 203-333-9422. You are absolutely welcome to be part of the conversation. We enjoy it. Wayne, hello. Good morning, Wayne Winston. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa. I missed you last week. I know you had to take care of the fam, and that was okay. You got to handle that.
I love my family. Yes, I had to take my mom to the doctor. Thank God she's good. So, Wayne, you hit me with a story that rocked me that happened back in September. It missed my radar, but apparently the video has just come out. Tell us the details of how a jaywalker ended up being shot by police.
Well, it's another name to be added to a long list of names of Black men being killed by law enforcement. And the sad part is that there's a recording in the police car about their dialogue about whether they should stop him or not. And they're just driving down the street, and how it becomes an issue is he was killed last September, and they had a picture of him on the ground and his arm was out, and both of these two cops are on top of him, and they were saying, hey, he was going for my gun, so that's why we killed him. Well, apparently a person who, a concerned citizen, recorded the whole thing, and it was released within the last couple of days, and MSNBC and CNN, they've all posted this thing, as well as even the local news media, and this is in Los Angeles, California. So this gentleman is 42 years old, just standing on the corner, you know, minding his own business. Now, the great thing, this is the internet. So whether you have your phone, whether it's a computer, you can look this up for yourself. Just type in Black man killed for jaywalking. And as they approach him and they want to know what he's doing, he's concerned, like, you know, what did I do? It gets into the basic back and forth of, you know, why are you bothering me? You know, I'm not doing anything. And they accuse him of jaywalking. And all of a sudden he gets wrestled to the ground because he's saying, hey, don't touch me. You know, just leave me alone. I didn't do anything. And they both leap on him. You'll have to see the video for yourself to really believe what I'm saying. And all of a sudden he says he's going for my gun. And then they just bang, bang, and he's dead.
It's unbelievable. Now, I'm reading from the East Bay Times, which is local. You know me, I'm always about local press reporting on things because they tend to get a lot of the details in. And the headline is, homeless Black man killed by cop in Southern California was stopped for jaywalking recording show. And when you read about this, first of all, his name was Kurt Reinhold. He was only 42 years old. He was shot and killed September 23rd, 2020. But the video was not made public until this past Wednesday, February 17th. And in the audio, it says Reinhold is heard arguing with deputies about why they are questioning him. One of the deputies says, are you going to stop, or are we going to have to make you stop? And he says, for what? For what? And the deputy says, jaywalking. And then the next thing you know, cell phone video says he's asking, why are you touching me? As one of them approaches him and reaches his hand out to stop him from walking. Then they struggle and they tackle him to the ground. He's just walking. He's just walking. Another angle of the confrontation is caught on surveillance video from a nearby motel, showing a closer view of the three men on the ground. During the struggle, two shots are heard. And then, quote, the officers can be heard disagreeing about whether he had jaywalked or not, since he had crossed at the controlled intersection. Give me a break. He was walking across the street. He wasn't even jaywalking. But even if he had been jaywalking, are you kidding me? Police get to touch you if you're jaywalking? They get to approach you and touch your body? Since when? Unbelievable. It's unbelievable, Wayne.
And that's why it's painful to me. It's painful for every black person, for every black man. You know, you have Amari Arbery, and these things are happening all across the country. So that's why it's like, well, it's an isolated incident. You know, Amari Arbery was already dead and buried, and that's the young man who was jogging through the neighborhood, and the two vigilantes decide that they're going to kill him. He was dead for months because his mom was told that he tried to break into a house. And meanwhile, they had just killed him, and then the whole police department covered the whole thing. And there was one lawyer that had the conscience to release that information to the attorney of his mom, and he broke that case open because they found judges that were complicit that had seen it, and they all covered. So for us as black people, when you hear Black Lives Matters, that's what it means. It means that our lives are as good as white lives. If you wouldn't stop your son or your daughter or someone who looks like you just for crossing the street, why would you stop us? There's videos of entire families, eight-year-olds, on the ground with guns pulled on them, just women and teenagers, because the car they said they thought was stolen in a Walmart parking lot. Turns out, oh, sorry, it wasn't your car. The plate matched, but it was actually a motorcycle. The humiliation of these things that often lead to death, these are the few that we catch on camera, and had someone not recorded that, we wouldn't be talking about it today. Because what went with that
story?
Well,
let's talk about this other one. Because, and I have to tell you, we're chatting with Wayne Winston, 203-333-9422. Hundreds have taken to the streets to demand police reform and justice for Daniel Prude in Rochester, New York, hours after learning a grand jury decided not to indict the officers connected to Daniel Prude's death. So what happened to Daniel Prude, Wayne? What happened to him?
Daniel Prude, his family called the police because he has mental issues. When they found him naked, running through the streets, and this is in the wintertime, they put him down on the ground. They put a hood over his head. They said to keep him from spitting, and they put him on the ground. Now, they basically were saying they really didn't touch him, but video shows that they had their knees on his back, that they were holding him down, and he couldn't breathe, and he dies. Now, this is a family calling the police for help. We see this over and over and over as a black community. That's why this station is so important, because the majority of listeners here are white Americans. If you've got a heart and in any sense of moral compass, you get this if you're willing to look at racism does exist, not just out there, but in the police departments. You know, these things are things we have felt for years. George Floyd just showed you him having the life squeezed out of in him in front of you, that this is real. And that's why people are out there marching. So for those that have, hey, blue lives matter, of course police lives matter. But there's no rash of police being killed by black people. And when the black people that are dying are dark-skinned like me, there's no confusion. They're not the light-skinned guy who might be Latino or something else. There's clearly something wrong here, which leads to the whole police reform movement, you know, and everyone has to have consequences. I went to my doctor yesterday because I had a look at my knee because I had a car accident. And we're talking.
Okay.
And I said to him, you know, he mentioned a couple things about what was going on in this country. And the problem is that you can be a conservative, but being a racist is something else. What happened at that Capitol is something else. Being anti-government is something else. And people have to think about who they are and what they support. I asked him, I said, listen, if you do something wrong in your profession as a medical professional, you can lose your license. If you're an attorney, you can be disbarred. If the police department does not have accountability, this will continue to happen. And this is why police reform is necessary. We don't know what's going to
happen. So let's bring it up to today. So let's bring it up today. We're chatting with Wayne Winston, 203-333-9422. I did see yesterday in an update, because our legislative session is in session. In fact, I'm going to be testifying in front of appropriations on Friday on behalf of our probate court system. I do this all the time, it seems like, because the governor never gives the probate court system the amount of money that we ask for. So I always have to put my hand out and say, can you please give us the money we need? Anyway, but I'll be doing that on Friday at 6:30 p.m. via Zoom. But I did see that yesterday it came upon my radar that there was testimony in front of a legislative committee asking for an amendment to the Police Accountability Reform Act, Wayne. I don't know if you followed this. One of the things they want to do is they want about 18 months to be able to train properly because they feel that the standards that are now enshrined into law as of last year, that the police are not necessarily ready for. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, the grounds for force, because we've changed, you know, what would be considered to be the grounds for reasonable force. And they want some time to educate the police officers on the street as to what's expected of them before putting these standards out and then doing a 20/20 hindsight. Do you have an opinion on that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's two things. I mean, excessive force is not new in our departments. Now, this comes from serving on all type of committees, community, a couple even statewide, when we deal with law enforcement. One, and I got to make the disclaimer, so no one's sitting at home going, oh, he hates the police because he's black. No, this is not true. Every one of our cities, Bridgeport included, New Haven, Hartford, and even some of the suburbs, I've known police chiefs who said some officers should not be on the street, but they're protected by the union, so we do what we can do. Now, that means something to them. It means something to us as a community because it means that person is going to do what they can do with impunity. So when someone sees me different because I'm a black man, that has to do more with a racial psychology. I think we should need that built in as much as anything else, because if you feel your job is to control the black community, have a militarization psychology towards you have to save your community from black people, no matter what you're taught, it's going to affect that. That's why the discussion about race is important. I do understand when you make changes to a structure to what that force may be, that makes sense to me. Does it take 18 months? I don't know. But I do know that excessive force, again, is not new, and it's one of the top complaints in our communities about what happens when they deal with black people versus other people. I know people who have literally fought with the cops, went home and lived to tell about it, or even be in one place and not go to jail. God knows that could never happen to any black person I know. So I'm saying there's a double standard that is here. And we talk about race a lot on here, but it's a part of America, and we're better when we face it to change it, which moves to the Capitol stuff that we see. Imagine black people out there storming those walls. You know what would have happened if those were black people and black women down there going after those police. Everyone on the planet would have been out there ready to hang them, do what they need to do, and they would have shot them down. In fact, they would have been ready for them like they were with the Black Lives protesters a couple of weeks before. So I'm saying it's Black History Month. This is a time when you can use this stuff and make it positive.
Let's come back. We're chatting with Wayne Winston. We're going to come back and talk about a lot of progress that's been made, some wonderful things in the black community. We'll reflect on Black History Month. I'm Lisa Wexler. You're welcome to join the conversation at 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
Search for the WICC 600 app on your smartphone and listen to Lisa anywhere. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600.
Welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. 203-333-9422 is our number. You're invited to be part of the conversation. Let me ask you, what resonates with you in this time of Black History Month? Is there, I don't know, a movie that you're watching, a television series, a personal conversation with someone in your life? What is happening in your life that makes you think that something about Black history is something we need to stop and focus on? And what's getting you about where we are right now? Joining us back for our conversation is Wayne Winston. Hey, Wayne, I want to lead with something in thinking about Black History Month. You know, I'm a big devotee of classic movies. You know, that's my thing. And I just can't help thinking that the person as an entertainer who rises above everybody else in terms of his selection of roles and what he stood for as a black man was Sidney Poitier. All of his movies, from A Raisin in the Sun to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner to A Patch of Blue to In the Heat of the Night with, I want to say Archie Bunker, but it wasn't. You know who I mean. But anyway, he just stands apart for me. And I'm also thinking about Cicely Tyson and her extraordinary, you know, gifts. You know that there were hundreds and hundreds of people, Wayne, that stood in line in the freezing cold just to pay their respects to her when she passed away a couple of weeks ago. You there, Wayne? Hello?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Wayne,
can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes.
Yeah, now I can.
I heard everything that you said, and I had the phone against my face. I must hit the mute button, so I apologize.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
You know, everything that you just said, Sidney Poitier was amazing. When you go to his story of how he wanted to break through the traditional characterization of African-Americans, and mm-hmm. was successful at it as being such an amazing actor, you just had no choice but to accept him. And he had roles. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which basically faced that whole, you know, black and white dating thing. In its time, it was groundbreaking, you know.
Totally. Totally.
With Rod Steiger in The Heat of the Night, when he slaps the racist back, and he slaps him back. Hey, you know what I would have done to you, you know, boy. You know, I mean, this.
Right. Don't call me boy. I'm a man. Oh, unbelievable.
What do they call you in New York? They call me Mr. Tibbs. Okay. All right.
Correct. So,
he was an amazing guy, and Cicely Tyson, the same. Oh, she chose
giant.
Parts that she wanted, times that she giant. Didn't work for 4 years, and as I hold them up, it just goes to show how we can recognize talent as human beings. You know, if we do something exceptional, it's very much accepted in the world because it accepts talent. It's the average everyday person, I think, that we have to struggle with. When 9/11 happened, we all became Americans. We all came together. We all got together and said, you know what? We have to fight this thing together because they blew up a symbol of our country. That affected everybody. It lasted a short time. We have to be Americans, and meaning care about each other and accept each other's cultures and our differences past some emergency where we have to join together for something like that, which is what Black History Month was created for by Carter G. Woodson, because there was no inclusive history. The only thing we basically saw about black people was, well, we were slaves, and yes, there was Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth, and there's a few other people. And, you know, that's what black people were here for. It was a kind of bump in the road, but let's go on with the rest of history, you know. And that's where the problem was, because it wasn't put in as we made contributions. So I would encourage people to just type in black inventors into your search engines. And I think you'll be surprised to see the things that black people created that maybe you didn't know about beyond, you know, the story of the gap.
Beyond George Washington Carver. That's the only one I ever remember being taught to me. George Washington Carver, who invented uses for the peanut. That was the big one that I learned when I was a kid. That was it. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And if you think of how crazy that is, especially knowing what we know now, Garrett Morgan creates the traffic light, you know, who also creates the gas mask. And in fact, they didn't want, there was a big fire, and they didn't want to use the gas mask because he was black. They thought it wasn't going to work. He literally had to go into a burning building with his gas mask on, save people, come out and bring them out before they said, oh, I guess it works. Now, you talk about a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. You know, and it goes on and on. You've heard the term the real McCoy. That came from Elijah McCoy. Elijah McCoy worked on the railroad. And back in the day, you used to have to pull that your train over. You saw the big oil can you saw in Westerns and squirt that oil in there. Well, he created this first self-lubricating pump for hydraulics. That's why the trains didn't have to stop. They were able to go further. It changed the whole American economy because it made it more efficient. And his machine was so good because other people made it. The others were so inferior. The people who bought it in the industry said, is that the real McCoy? So it became synonymous with something of quality. So there's so many more stories that are like that, that are factually proven. but they're not talked about in history. So that's why Connecticut adopting an inclusive history in our state, I'm proud of them. Because if you can see that we're smart and intelligent people, that we contribute to more than just be, you know, subjugated in slavery, which most of the people I know, we really regret, because we know we are those smart people. We've fought in every single war in this country valiantly and gave our lives for the promise of equality. It's that simple.
Yeah, you know, I loved Hidden Figures for that reason. I think that was the beauty of that script and of that movie. You know, not just focusing on the fact that they were black, but also that they were women. And I think that the double combo was very real. So I just Googled black inventors, and I came to a site called thinkgrowth.org. 14 black inventors you probably didn't know about, which is very true. I didn't. And one of the first is Dr. Shirley Jackson, an American physicist who received her PhD from MIT in 1973. And she invented, her experiments with theoretical physics paved the way for the touch tone telephone, the portable fax, caller ID, call waiting, and the fiber optic cable. And this was a site that, as of, I think, 2017, it said Dr. Jackson was the 18th president of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. I don't know if she's still. This was written as of 2017. That's pretty unbelievable. Lewis Latimer collaborated with Thomas Edison and invented the carbon filament, the component of the light bulb. Look at that. And he worked with Alexander Graham Bell, and he helped draft the patent for the design of the telephone, and he designed an improved railroad car bathroom and an early air conditioning unit. Lewis Latimer.
Let me stop right there. Lewis Latimer lived in Bridgeport.
Did he really?
Matter of fact, there is a school, is Latimer Hall, right down the University of Bridgeport to honor him. There's a statue in front of City Hall that honors him. He's holding a light bulb, and he invented the filament. Without the filament, what was happening is he had the structure together, but it couldn't burn for a long time. He tested tens of thousands of different elements to come up with the filament that made that bulb burn. And that's right amazing. Down City Hall right now. They put that in like 5 years ago. So here's a person right here in Bridgeport. There's a gentleman, his name is Temple. God, I forget his last name. He worked as a whaler in New London. He's a black sailor. And back then, you know, you see the old movies, and when you harpoon the whale, they'd take you on a sleigh ride because everything was done with whale oil. So they take you for the ride, and a lot of times the harpoon would come out. He came up with a way to make a hook that has swivel on the end. So when it went into the whale, when it pulled back, it locked into the whale. So the whale would get tired and stop. He revolutionized the whaling industry. He made it much more efficient.
Sad, unfortunately. Like an invention that was good then, but we look back and we say, really? That's too bad. We have a caller. Let's do quickly because we're coming up against the clock. Fran from Trumbull. Hi, Fran. Welcome to the show. You're on with Wayne Winston. Quick.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking the call. And I was watching something on TV maybe a couple of weeks ago. It was a movie. And it was about a black chemist, and he became the inventor and better use for cortisone. And I never hear him mentioned. My husband doesn't remember the name, and neither do I. He thought it was something like Jensen. But I'm sure if you look on your list of inventors, you might find him. He kind of was very instrumental in getting cortisone. They either were able to make it cheaper or find more uses for it or whatever, but you never hear about it. And I'm
Does this sound
matter.
Familiar? Was his name Percy Levon Julian?
Yes.
Is that who it was?
Right.
That's him. Yes.
Yes, Julian.
He died in 1975. Okay, wonderful.
What did you say? He died?
In 1975, he passed away. He was born in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being born in Montgomery, Alabama in 1899, how he even got an education? Could you imagine how much he must have struggled to even get an education?
Yeah. That's the truth.
That is
the truth. Your listeners are so amazing. No.
Thank you, Fran.
For your call.
Yeah, just
Fran,
quickly, Lisa, did anybody call and tell you how you can get your second shot?
No, not yet, but they're emailing me. People are emailing me, but nobody has the magic situation yet.
Well, we got in
but
touch.
I'll figure
Someone
it out.
Someone told us to get in touch with, what was that hospital, Joe? The hospital that we went through. Oh, it was Griffin Hospital. Griffin Hospital.
Yeah, they're fabulous. Yeah, they're great. I'm going to keep calling them.
Yeah, give them a call. They were very organized, and we got our shots there. We're done with the two shots, so anyway.
Thanks,
okay,
Fran.
Take
Thanks
care.
For
Bye-bye.
Calling in. Thanks. So, Wayne, I'll let you have the last word. We're coming up against the clock. Percy Julian. I mean, could you imagine 1899 Montgomery, Alabama, and he becomes the first African-American chemist inducted into the National, I think, National Academy of, what was it? The National Academy of something with chemical scientists. Unbelievable. You have a National Academy of Scientists, the first chemist African-American inducted into the National Academy of Sciences. Think about how much he must have struggled to get an education. We're out of time, but I'll let you have the last word.
Well, we knew it was a struggle. We did it despite what was going on. You have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful audience. Thank you for listening. We all can do better if we understand that we are all human beings. And, you know, we have death threats for setting up these diversity studies.
Gotta go.
And,
we're out. We're out.